Praise the Lord, everyone. What a mighty God we serve. I'm humbled this morning because the Lord has chosen me to bring forth a word for His people. The honor is something that is given by God. In the book of Hebrews, it says, there's no man taking this honor upon himself, but it is given of God. So I thank God this morning for the opportunity to speak to His people. And by all means, I pray and ask you to pray for me that God would use me, that I would bring forth something that would be edifying, and that God will be glorified and the devil will be horrified. We want the devil horrified. And a lot of times we tend to let the devil have his way in how he wants to make us act. Now, I'm not saying you have to get up and jump and run around, but I'm saying that sometimes you just have to do the opposite of what your flesh wants you to do. Because a lot of times your flesh will have you sitting at the dinner table eating and enjoying all that food that's going to go in your stomach, as the Bible says, go out the trough. And it knows it's not going to profit anything but just to keep this no good fellow alive. But oh, thank God for Jesus who came, who showed us, who made a show of Him openly and triumphed over Him, who died in the spirit of holiness and rose and sent back us the spirit that gives us the ability today to say, thank you, Jesus. I was asking the Lord ever since the pastor spoke to me about this day of Thanksgiving, because I feel that every day is a day of Thanksgiving. And I was asking God to give me a word that would show that He was pleased with what He was hearing. Anybody that knows me know that I believe in looking at natural things that tell me a lot about how God is operating in the spiritual world. And our Bible clearly says that the spiritual things are clearly understood by the natural. So I begin to ask the Lord about a lot of the diseases and things that we see hitting our natural body. Is it a sign of showing us what is happening to our spiritual bodies? And the Lord said, duh. I said, duh. He said, yeah, haven't you figured out by now that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Anything that comes from him is not for edification for the people of God. But the Lord has also given us wisdom whereby we should know that everything that we have here on this earth that pertains to life and godliness has given us the knowledge to know how to use it. In other words, how to take out the weak and beggarly elements. I'm going to talk a little bit about weak and beggarly elements. Y'all pray for me. This is not the easiest thing to do. We don't write our scriptures down. We don't write about our sermons. And we don't copy other people's sermons. Right, Pastor Yaddo? We wait for God to give us something. So you pray for me. I'm a vessel that God wants to use and will use. But we must be one of accord and believe that the Lord is going to speak today. And when the Lord speaks, we want to hear what God has to say. There are some people who go to school and never got an education. They went to school and received their A's and their B's, and they received on and got on the honor roll. And when they got out of the school, they never used their education at all. Sometimes we can find ourselves sitting in the midst of God's sanctuary and not reaping the benefits of why we are in the sanctuary. The Bible says that the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. How is it that the world would take advantage of things out there that the devil has placed and copied from Jesus? You see, the devil can't create nothing. All he does is copy. And see, when he copies, it lets you know that he is nothing but a manipulator. You hear about people all the time trying to steal other people's ideas. You hear about all the time when there's someone that comes on, maybe you read about it where it says, that was my idea, but I didn't get it copyrighted. So today we're going to talk about getting some stuff copyrighted. And when I say copyright, I mean that Jesus is going to put a sanction on it and let us know that He is well pleased with what we have agreed to do. What we're going to talk about is nothing new, but that which has already been established. For the Bible says there's no new thing under the sun. Some of us may think our dance moves are new. We may think that our voice is new. Or we may think our inventions are new. But the Bible says there is no new thing under the sun. I want to take you to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And when I read this, the Lord shared with me why He gave me the scripture. Now, I'm not going to read the whole 11th chapter of Hebrew because it talks about what the people of God had suffered and went through. How they had wandered in caves and dens of the earth. How some of them had testimonies of similar to what we heard today, how God had spared their life. How many did not accept deliverance from the world or from the devil. But they had something that they sought for, but they had not received it because it was not mixed with faith. I think we all need to understand that we have a responsibility, saints of God. You see, Israel did not obtain that which he seeketh for because they had rejected him. But because of the promise that God had made to Abraham, he was going to make sure that the promise was to be fulfilled in a people called the remnant of God. I believe we are the remnant of God. Remnant means a group of people that's been pulled out from another group of people. In school, you will find that there's always a group that wants to excel just being mediocre. Some people want to have more than just a good praise team. Some people want to have more than just a good word. Some people want to have more than just a big building or a lot of cars and houses and land. One of the things that joined me to Pastor Yaddo is when he told me that he wanted to see the glory of God manifested in the people of God. Now the Lord blessed me to understand that when I met this man, that he was a man of God, but he was not an ordinary man of God. And I think if any of you sitting here understand that Pastor Yaddo is just not an ordinary man of God. And then the Lord began to speak to me, and that servant said, "This is your spiritual father." Now when I spoke to Pastor Yaddo, he said, "I don't know if I'm qualified to be your spiritual father." God told me my spiritual father is going to be able to help me navigate through areas that I have never been. One of the biggest things you will find with men is men have a problem of humbling themselves. Because God has made man in his image and likeness. And therefore men, when they look at other men, unless you have something to show that's spectacular or something that puts them at a higher magnitude of you for you to look up to, you would not honor and respect that man as being someone in greater stature. But once you see through the eyes of God, it helps you to understand that this person is just not an ordinary man. This is somebody that has suffered. It's somebody who has fell in love with Jesus. Someone who is willing to die for the sheep. Someone who is dedicated and has given his vow that I will live holy. That I will honor and respect the women in the church. That I will love the children. And I will be a father to anyone who needs me to be a father to them. I am honored today because Pastor Yaddo has filled all of those qualifications for me. Yes, I'm a man of God and I'm a pastor, but God has put him in my life because now I can go talk to him about things that I need to talk to him about. See, sometimes we want to put ourselves in a state of mind that we are higher and mightier than thou, that we don't need anybody. The secret to Jesus is humility. If you can humble yourself, the Lord will show you what your purpose is in Him. Everyone has a purpose. Your human body is working in unison because everything within the body understands its purpose. But the body of Christ sometimes seems to hit stumbling blocks. And the reason it hits these stumbling blocks is because those that are in leadership position are not acting as tutors and governors as God has established or as God has said should be. What does a tutor and a governor do? A tutor is one who instructs. He helps you with instruction. What does a governor do? He rules. He rules and controls with instruction that's been set forth already by those that are over him. We as shepherds, under-shepherds, understand that God gives us instructions for people. He gives us wisdom and He gives us also a understanding of how to deal with each particular soul. There's some that can take a rebuke, and there's some that cannot take a rebuke. There's some that you have to admonish, and there's some that you have to exhort. Every time the Lord gives us an opportunity to come into the house of God, the people of God are supposed to be fed God, not world. World has crept in to the false churches, but the world has never crept into the body of Christ. Now, some people may not agree with that, but when you deal with the body of Christ is holy. And the scripture says that there is no sin in the body. So if he says there's no sin in the body, then that means that the corruption of the world cannot get into the body. But just in case there is some corruption that tries to enter in, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus. Just in case we see those little bitty gnats or those little bitty foxes that spoil the vine that have crept in, and our conscience has told us that we need to repent or we need to acknowledge the fact that my action was not right, how I spoke to my wife or how I spoke to my child or children, how I responded to my parents. These are the things that keep you within the body of Christ. Again, the scripture says that the body is perfect. But what the world doesn't understand, they look at us and saying, oh, those people think they're holy and thou, they never make mistakes. No, we make mistakes, but we know how to rectify our mistakes. Now I'm going to read here in the last part of Hebrews. And then I'm going to go to Matthew, the 11th chapter of Matthew, verse 11 and 11. As I said, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it talks about all of the things that the people of faith, the Old Testament saints, had did, not accepting deliverance. Verse 37, 11, 37, 38, 39 is what I'm going to read, and then we'll go into Matthew. It says, and they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the word of God, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, you would think, looking at all of the suffering that these Old Testament saints went through, that they would have met all the requirements that God wanted. But it says that they did not receive the promise. Saints, I declare to you today that God is expecting something of us more so than just being sawed asunder and wandered in caves and dens of the earth. We have not even suffered here. Most of us are living the life of Raleigh. And when we come into the presence of God, sometimes it's hard to get people to get up out of their seats and act like God has done anything for them. But the man of God takes time and testimonies were set forth, giving God praise for people whose life had been restored, people praising God for just everything. I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm saying thank you. Every time someone says something, I'm saying thank you. You know why? Because I understand that God is expecting more of me than He did of the children of Israel. Now that may seem somewhat difficult to us, because you will say, how can I be sawed asunder and wandering in caves and dens of the earth when some of us are terrified and tetrified because we wanted chicken tonight and all we have is a pack of ramen? I'm talking about suffering. Sometimes the people of God don't understand that if you would just learn how to be thankful for what you already have, then perhaps God would give you something greater than what you could even ask for. I'm going to give you a little testimony and I'm going to come back. Pastor Yaddo prayed last Sunday that God would give us abundance. He prayed that the Lord would bless us in our entrepreneurs and in our jobs and our proposals. I had asked the Lord to open a door for me on a particular job. And some of the saints of the church know about this. It was concerning a contract. I'm a painting contractor. I do commercial paint. I do large projects. I hadn't done a large project in a long time. God blessed us. One time we was out to dinner, some of the saints, and we met a gentleman who was an environmental officer at a company. And we struck up a conversation talking about possible work at this electrical plant. Well, he said that the work wasn't going to happen until maybe next year, but he called me 3 or 4 months ago, and he called me and said, John, I have a project I want you to look at out here. We got some money in the budget that we may want to just start early. I said, well, thank the Lord. So I get in my vehicle, meet him, I drive out past Palo Verde Power Plant, and I go to this electrical power plant called Arlington Power Electric. I come to find out that APS buys power from this electrical company. But when I look at the plant, I look at all this, I see dollar signs. I said, woo, wow, look at all of this money. Because I'm thinking about painting it. I'm bringing this testimony to show that God confirmed the word of His servant. Wow. And I believe that God would not have given me this contract if I had not met Pastor Yaddo. And when I met Pastor Yaddo, I had to humble myself and recognize the scripture says, believe on Him whom God has sent. See, you have to understand that when God sends people, it doesn't have to be a pastor. It may be your brother or sister. But you need to respect and understand that God will send you somebody, and it doesn't have to be who you think. They don't have to have any titles. The fact is that you are humble enough to recognize that God can use anybody. So if God can use a dumb donkey to speak to a prophet, why could He not use your brother or sister to admonish or tell you something or to encourage you? So here we go. Let me tell you this. Let me take you on this journey. So we walked through and I said, okay, this whole place needs planning. It needs sandblasting. It needs all type of work before we paint. He said, well, we're going to start on these 3 water tanks. These water coolers are used to cool off all the electrical current that goes through, and then it dumps back into the some kind of turbine. And I'm looking at these plants, these tanks, and I said, okay, give me information. He said, I will fax you all the information you need. I will show you the blueprints so you can do your takeoff. Anyone in construction understands takeoff. You have to do measurements and takeoff and measure your heights and all this stuff, and then you give them a bid. He never sent me anything. So I called him back. Lord said, call him back. I called him back a month later. He said, okay, we got bids in, and I actually have a number that I'm looking at. It looks quite good, and I have not received your information. I said, well, Greg, you never asked me to give you a bid. You basically asked me to look at the work, and you would give me my information. The Lord said, write a proposal. Now usually when I get ready to write proposals, I usually have people that I inquire about proposals. I have several people, my wife, and Miss Pam, Miss Karen. I have people I can write about proposals. The Lord said, no, you're going to write the proposal. I'm going to show you that I get the glory out of this. I don't want you to depend on them. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. So I write a proposal and make me look like a multi-million-dollar company. I didn't lie. I just used the right terminology, the right verbiage. See, that's what you got to learn with God, to use the right verbiage. Again, I'm dealing with the natural things that clearly understood by the spiritual. I said, so Lord, what do I use? He said, you want to use code. You want to talk about how that when you write these specs, how according to SSPC, which is the Structural Steel Pacific Corporation, tells you how this particular type of metal is to get blasted and wiped. He said, watch your words. So I wrote everything, and it talked about OSHA. And I put all these codes, and I sent it to him. 2 weeks go by, I still don't hear from him. Lord said, call him back. So I call him back. He says, you got the proposal. You got the contract. But let me tell you about this contract. It's over $500,000.
Hallelujah.
Can somebody else say something? I have no employees. I have no workers' comp. I have no office. Brother, I have none of these things. But I have Jesus. Then let me tell you more about the story. Okay. So I give a particular number, and then the Lord turns around and says, no, I'm going to make it work better for you. It's going to be time and material, because there are some things that you won't see. And the Lord confirmed this with someone else I was talking to. And they said, the Lord wants you to get all the money out of it that you're supposed to get. So I'm working at this school. And Pastor, y'all don't know about it. I had to drive the Buckeye. I'm going out to paint these doors in this school. Someone painted the doors and all the paint peels off. So I had to strip the door and redo the door. So I'm talking to the general contractor, and I'm telling him about this job, and I need blasting. He said, that's what I do. I blast. I said, Jesus, look what Jesus is just putting this together. He said, I told you, young man, to quit worrying about how you're going to do it. If I give it to you, then I will provide it for you. So saints, how do we get in the frame of mind that when Jesus said here in Hebrews that these people who wandered in caves and dens of the earth did not receive the promise, tells us weak people, and I will say I am very weak, but I am humble before the Lord. How do we do this, Lord? How do we get ourselves in position that Israel will be brought in because of us? That's what the scripture says. See, a lot of people talk about they want to go to the Holy Land, and I walked where Jesus walked, and I went to the place where the sanctuary, I did this and I did it. You better be trying to find out what you're supposed to be doing over here before you spend all that money going to Israel talking about walking the Holy Land. Because the Bible says without you, they could not be made perfect. The Bible says that we were grafted in. And the purpose of us being grafted in was to bring forth the fruit that Israel would need to be saved. We are holy. We are holy because he who died for us left a DNA of holiness. And when he left this DNA of holiness, he also left a will that tells us how to obtain the promise. But what some of us still don't understand, that the secret to promises and to obtain the will is humility. See, the devil, he takes people and he gives them pride. Gives them a few people, gives them a building, gives them an offering. They see a few thousand dollars coming through, and people walk through and they want to be arrogant and act like, look at me. See, that's the spirit of Satan. But the spirit of God is humility. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So when I see Jesus, I see humility. When he stood before Pilate and Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the power to release you?" He looked at him and said, "You can't do nothing except you get power from above." Saints of God, it is time for us to recognize that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to our own brothers and sisters to understand that I am my brother's keeper. One thing I have prayed and asked God for, the spirit that my pastor gave me and the pastor spirit that he had that I see in Pastor Yano, that I must care for the sheep and for the people. How do I eat and saints don't eat? How do I drive a car and saints ain't got no car? How do I live in a house, big house, and saints don't have a house? They scuffling to pay their rent. That's not no shepherd. That's a hireling. If you are striving to do something from God, the secret is humility. The secret to humility is seeing that cross. How could the Creator, who made everything, subject himself to be beat and blood running everywhere, and to stand before the very people that he had healed, the very people that he had fed, and say, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Saints, we got some coming up to do. Remember when Jesus told his disciples, "Except you exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees," how they give to each other, how they help each other. I go out with people to dinner who will take me out to dinner. Or I give people money or buy people things that will buy me things. Saints of God, we want the love of God to be shed abroad. So therefore, we have a perfect example of how God first showed us what he wanted us to do and how he wanted us to do it. He rode in on a donkey. Does everyone here know about how donkeys come into existence? What do you breed to get a donkey? Isn't it a horse? And a donkey? And then Jesus came in on... Did Jesus come in on a mule or a donkey? Who knows their Bible? He came in on a donkey. How humble is that? The Pharisees are waiting for him to ride into the city with perhaps fireworks and glitter and glam, but he comes in on a donkey. I think the secret to us reaching into the eternal God's plan and purpose is to make sure that we love and care for one another. See, when you talk about love and caring for one another, then that means you would deny yourself. That means that when someone needs a dollar, you won't give them 50 cents, you'll give them the whole dollar. I didn't say give them 50 cents, I said give them the whole dollar. Because flesh don't want to give up nothing. One more scripture. Matthew 11:11. We're still talking about responsibility. Responsibility is important because it gives us something to do. I think we all have something we need to do for the Lord. Besides talking about our achievements in the world and talk about all the natural things that we have received, how about bringing forth some spiritual fruit? That's how the miracles come about. You want God to fill the building. You want God to fill the temple. The Bible says when Isaiah looked, he said his veil filled the temple. You want the temple filled with the glory of God. People just start walking down the street and all of a sudden something just draws them and they start walking through the door. I don't know why I'm here. Well, we know why you're here, because the Lord brought you here. The world is searching. The devil is constantly putting up a camouflage through music. And you've noticed that he always puts all of his powers that are wicked in positions that influence multitudes of people. Parents, don't let your kids run you. You run your kids. They will try to tell you what they want to do and what they think they need to do. And then they turn around and they're going to tell you, well, why did you let me do it? Amen? Let me show you something here. I'm going to show you how great we are. Verily I say to you, among them that are born of women, there has not been a greater than John the Baptist. This tells us how great John is. But it says, notwithstanding that he is least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he. You know why it says that? Before Jesus came, John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet. When Jesus came, he brought the kingdom. Therefore, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. So if we are greater than John, what is the expectations of us? John was beheaded. Ain't nobody here getting beheaded, let alone get slapped. How many people can just take somebody just slapping the daylights out of you? Most of it, if you get slapped by the head, we tell somebody, I love you, but don't do that again. But here's John, who is a forerunner for Jesus. He sees him. He said, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. But Jesus knew that when he saw John, that John's time was now to be decreased. But then he turned around and said there was none born greater, because John was born with the Holy Ghost to baptize the Savior. And when the Holy Ghost fell upon him, then John said, okay, well, my time is up. I already knew that I was going to have to leave the scene. But don't you know, saints, that somebody has to die in order for you to excel in God? Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, thou fool, except thou die? Somebody got to die. This has to die. When this dies, it gives you the ability to see how great God is. It gives you the ability to understand that the Lord that you serve is much bigger than what you can see. I love hearing testimonies about this young man talking about how his business, it looked like it was laying on the back and God just rolled it straight up. Because that's the kind of God we serve. Against hope, we believe in hope. Young man was telling me earlier how that somebody was trying to kill him before he got up out of there, but God delivered him. All I say to you, young man, is whatever you told God you're going to do, you better keep your vow. You better keep your vow. Saints of God, the Lord has given us a chance today to reconcile and to come together and to see how can we help each other. Some of us may not know, and some of us may do. But I think it's a good thing to just go to people and ask them, can I help you with something? Do you need anything? Don't just take it that they have everything they need. Go to them and say, brother or sister, can I help you with something? The Bible says, how can you love God who you have not seen, and you can't even love the brother you see? First, start with the person you see. Don't go by their car and where they live at, because some people, I'm telling you, I've been there, me and my wife. We were looking pretty nice, but after church, we going home like, okay, what are we going to do now? But you know what? God has delivered us and brought us through such a time. And I still say that none of that what we went through was suffering, because we have not suffered. When Pastor Yaddo tells me about some of the great stories of deliverance of our brothers and sisters that over in Africa, what they deal with and what they see every day, they walk miles to go to church. We ride to church in an air-conditioned car listening to our stereo or our CDs. And then we walk into the church and don't know whether or not, if the spirit is not a certain way, then I'm not going to move. But you know what? That's the wrong attitude. See, I come in, I sit and I watch. And then sometimes I just shut my eyes and get into the Spirit of God, because I'm not here to judge. But I'm telling you, saints, God has sent me here to be a help to the man of God. And I want to help him. And I want to help you. And I will love you and I will support you any kind of way I can. But first of all, what we got to do is realize that God has put us together, that he is glorified in everything we do. And the more we give him glory and the more we give him honor, then God will bring down his glory, which shows that I am pleased. Remember when Jesus said, glorify me that I may glorify thee? Lord, give me the grace and the honor. And give me what I need to go through this, because this is going to hurt. Don't forget that he understood when he prayed in the 17th chapter of St. John, he knew how cruel these Roman folk was. See, that's what's happening with the world now. The world is taking God out of everything they can. Because now you're dealing with the oppressor. You're talking about him that has made the world a wilderness. The Bible says also that he has enlarged hell. You know why? Because there are more people being deceived. But you know what? If we would hold on to just those simple words of love thy neighbor as thyself, it would give you so much power to understand that I will not do anything to my brother or sister that I don't want done to me. Listen to your conscience, saints. A lot of times God would tell you to just go to that person and say, do your kids need something? Can I help you with this? And sometimes saints will be, you know, we're proud. No, I don't need anything. I'm fine. Thank the Lord. And then they leave and say, boy, I sure wish I would have took that $10. He did it to me. God broke me down. God broke me down. And I'm glad he did. Because when I'm down, I can look up. I look up. You know, it's an honor when you come among God's people, because God's people, they worship and they look to you for comfort. And I love how the saints go around and they fellowship and they shake hands and they embrace each other. I think it's important to touch, because when you touch people, embrace people, it gives off an electrical spark. You ever rub your foot on a rug and shock somebody? Well, that's what happens spiritually. You may not feel it, but every time you touch a saint, God is enlightening you. He's enlightening you every time. Because that particular saint has something that God has put in them for you. For those that are inspiring for the ministry, all I can say is this. This is one thing that I think is very of the utmost importance. A minister is a servant. We're not kings. We're not lords. Our job is to minister to God's people and to make sure that God's people see Jesus in us. My pastor told me something. He said, if you want to get men to love you and follow you, he said, manifest Jesus and love them. He said, you can't make a man do anything, because God has made men as an image and likeness. So if you want your brother to love you and respect you, you love him. And you show obeisance to him, because he's a king. And for women, they're definitely queens, because without them, we couldn't have been here. So for the egotistical male, God has allowed us to be kings and walk in authority. But then the Lord showed us how much we needed a woman. He even came through a woman. And the purpose of this is showing how that we need each other. There's no big eyes. There's no little U's. We're all the people of God. We're all the household of faith. Amen, saints? I usually do a lot of jumping around and shouting, but I feel like we had did that enough. But this is what God had put in my spirit. And he showed me how in the people of God in Hebrews, how they had wandered in caves and dens of the earth, and they struggled. And the Bible said they did not accept deliverance. And then the Lord told me, he said, now you think that you are not expected to do better than this? I said, yes, I am, Lord, but with your grace, I can. He said, without you, they cannot be made perfect. I said, Lord, is it a possibility that we or the church are holding up the rapture? Have you ever thought about that, saints? He's coming back for a bride that's without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Think of a man that's looking for a wife. He does not marry anybody. He marries who he's looking for. So what happens, saints, if we meet the expectations of what God wants, and all of a sudden the rapture happens? Something to think about, huh? What if we are holding up the rapture because we haven't done what God told us to do? What if we are holding up the rapture because the church would not come together? Now, I'm not talking about any and everybody you see on TBN and all this stuff, and I'm not talking about everybody, but there are some people on TBN that's of the devil. But I'm talking about the church, the remnant, a group of people who can get together like those ones building the Tower of Babel. That the Lord looks down from heaven and says, look at these folk. It is nothing that I can stop them from nothing they are trained to do because they have said, let us. So saints, if we say, let us, God will come and visit us. He will bring the mortar. He will bring everything we need that the temple of God will go up to Him as a holy and as righteous, and it is something that it is pleasing to Him, that every priest will be in his position. For the Bible says we are holy priesthood, so that means that everyone here is a priest. He has priests in different orders. But guess what? The priest who lit the candle was no less than the priest who took out the dead animal. Everybody was needed. Saints of God, we can do better. Amen? But by His grace, and only by His grace, and only if we understand that if He gets glory and honor from what we do, then He sends down His grace. His grace is favor. His grace is faith. His grace is strength to do that which you knew you could not do without Him. See, the world does not want to give God glory and honor for anything. You look at any of these athletes, they talk about their home run. They've made all these home runs and these records they broke. And you look at people who sing. How many of them say, I thank the Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ for giving me the ability? Who takes this muscle and says, beat, and it just starts beating. Man knows nothing about what makes the muscle keep pumping blood. It's because God says, beat. But you know what, saints? I'm in it for the long haul. When I see young people like this, this inspires me. This makes me want to do more and better because I'm trying to put myself in a position where you can get up on my shoulder and you can go higher than me. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, saints? The Lord has called us to holiness. The Lord has called us to righteousness. And the Lord has given us the ability not to be like the world. Which one are you going to choose? Are you going to be deceived by the world? You've seen people with money and houses and land. Now who would think someone like Mel Gibson, and I know the man ain't saved, but God blessed him to make a movie like The Passion of Christ. He took it from the book of John and I think he did a good job on it. But God blessed him. This man turns around and blows all of $300 million. He builds a false church somewhere, and all of a sudden he wants everybody to look up to him. Then look at him. He leaves his family, and now he's with this woman. He's done beat her up. He's lost his mind. So money is not what the answer is. The money is just being obedient. I mean, the answer is not the money, but the answer is being obedient and humbling yourself in what you told God you're going to do. Make sure you keep your vow. Amen? So today, I hope that I've encouraged you to understand that God has given us a chance and we can do better. And we will do better. I want you to pray for me, pray for my family, pray for everyone that God has put within the sound of the voice today that they have heard from the Lord. And we can do better, and we have an opportunity to do better, saints, because we have God. His name is Jesus. The Bible says it's given Him a name that's above every other name. So at this time, anybody who wants to come for prayer, want to come to the altar, the man of God has told me to make an altar call as well, that wants to just come up and just in awe, just fall down and say, Lord, I thank you. See, sometimes the altar is not always about confession, and it's not always asking. Sometimes the altar can just be for giving thanks. And I think He is worthy of all the glory and all the honor that is due. Now, if I could get a little help from the musicians, because I don't really understand how everything operates yet. So y'all please be patient with me in Jesus' name. at this time we are opening up the altar and giving God thanks. Because the Bible says, how beauty is the death of His saints in His sight. I know we gave respect and honor to someone who went home to be with the Lord. But while we are here, we're going to give God thanks, and we're going to ask God that while we are here, that we would give Him the praise and the glory and the honor from our heart. From our heart, saints. He wants the heart. God is not interested in money and houses and land. He's not interested in anything but just praise. If you remember in Genesis, the Bible says that He made everything, and then He gave it to man, and gave man the power to multiply, the power to subdue, the power to keep. So what else can we give Him but thanks? I got a song I'm going to sing. I don't know if y'all know, but it's real simple. All that I need is in Jesus. He satisfies joy, peace of mind. My life would be worthless without Him. All things in Jesus I find. Come on, saints. All that I need is in Jesus. He satisfies joy, He supplies my life. My life would be worthless without Him. All things in Jesus I find. You know, saints, sometimes you don't even know what to say. Sometimes you just need to hold your eyes closed and let your head drop and just say, Lord, You know what I need. I may ask for something that's out of place. I may ask for something that's amiss. But the Holy Ghost will show me what I need to pray and ask God for. So Holy Ghost, take over. Take over, Lord. Let Your DNA and Your spirit run through our veins. Let it fill this place, Lord. And give us what we need. Because, Lord, we don't want to be guilty for holding up the rapture because we wandered around. The children of Israel wandered around in the wilderness because they would not humble themselves. But, Lord, we humbling ourselves. This place is a wilderness, Lord. This place is a wilderness. Satan has made this world a wilderness. But, Lord, we see You. We see You, and we're going to humble ourselves, Lord, because You're going to lead us. You will be a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Lord, we need You. Lord, we need You. We need You. We need You. All that I need is in Jesus. He satisfies. Joy He supplies. My life would be worthless without Him. All things in Jesus I find.
Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Worship as we get ready to close these services. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, all over these places, I want you to stand to your feet and let's worship the Lord together.